Romans chapter number 14. When you found your place, if you'd please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Starting in verse number 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let him not which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living, of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and I'll ask Brother Saray if he would lift his voice and pray for us. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the Bible is very clear on certain conduct and certain conditions on certain issues. We noticed that in the previous chapter when it talks, just look at verse number 9. It says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There are certain things that it's clear in the Bible what you're, how you're to treat your neighbor, amen? And now we come to a section which talks about some debatable areas of conduct, some areas where it's not specifically said in the Word of God. Just for an example, about going to movies or watching TV. They didn't have TV back then. They didn't have movies. Amen? Those are areas where you talk to certain Christians and you have some that say, well, that's okay, and then you have some that say, no, it's not okay. And so it's an area of gray area or issue, and so this is kind of what he's talking about here. Now, what he's trying to tell us is in this chapter, in the first 12 verses, is that how we should handle one another, how we should relate to one another. Because what he's wanting is to make sure that there's no disunity. Now, there was disunity back in the early church. If we look in the books, the various books, we see problems with the church. In the Galatian church, there was backbiting and devouring one another. The Corinthian church, they were divided over leadership, and some were suing other Christians, fellow Christians. The Philippian church had two women at odds that were splitting the church. Paul also reminded the churches of Ephesus and Colossae the importance of unity. So here in Romans 14, we are told to handle situations to avoid that disunity. How we're to handle them. In the first 12 verses here that we read, the Bible tells us that we are to receive one another. I want you to notice, it says in verse number 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Now he's talking to the strong. He's saying those that are weak, you receive. And notice it's telling us we're to receive them. Now, during this time, when we look at the examples he's given us an example of those talking about what they eat or what they don't eat, what day they, you know, set aside for the Lord or what day they don't set aside for the Lord. There was a difference of opinion there. And so he's talking about each one of these. Now, the weak Christian in this matter is the one that had a certain diet or a certain holy day that he clung to. He clung to the law. What did the law say? That's what he went by, and not looking at the spiritual liberty that they had in Christ. But notice what he says here. We're to receive one another. Why should we receive one another? Why should the strong Christian receive the weak Christian and the weak Christian receive the strong Christian? Why? Well, the Bible tells us here in verse number 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, he's saying God received the weak Christian and God received the strong Christian. So if God has received them, we as Christians need to receive them. If God is our Lord and our Lord commands us to receive the weak Christian and we're the strong Christian, we're to receive them. If you're the weak Christian and God's told you to receive them, you're to receive the strong Christian. And the Bible is clear here that we're not to judge one another. Notice verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So here the Bible's telling us we're not to judge one another. We can differ in conscience in certain things and what God we feel is right and what another person may feel is right. There can be differences in certain things. Now, there's certain things that there's no difference. It's black and white. It tells you that. Amen? And so what we need to understand is we're not to judge others. Notice it says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Now you got to remember, back then, about 50% of the Roman Empire were slaves. And in essence, they understood what he was trying to say. If someone invited you to their home and their servant is serving you, you don't yell and fuss and get on that servant. That's the job of the master. And that's what he's saying about us is, as Christians, you know, it's not our rule to tell these people they're wrong. Our rule is to accept them as they are. And there are certain things we can do if we feel they're wrong, and that's pray for them. Amen? We should do certain things to help them to understand, but we're not to be judged. We're not to be judged over them. Amen? Now, it's interesting here, he said, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? I want you to think about that. Should a servant judge a servant? No. That's the master's job. And you know what we are? We're servants. Brother Saray, I'm a servant of the Lord. You're a servant of the Lord. So as a servant, I'm not to judge someone that's a servant. There's only one judge, and that's God. And so he's telling us here that we're to receive those people. And notice, my success or failure as a Christian isn't based on your opinion or your attitude of me. It's going to be, God's going to judge me. One day it tells us here that we'll all stand, all Christians in verse 10, all Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's where I'll be judged. Amen? He's the one that can judge me. Amen? He's the just one. Amen? He can judge me. And so here we see that we're going to be judged one day by the Lord. And the Bible tells us, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Notice what he says here. He shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. God is going to sustain his own. Amen? Whether they're a weak Christian, whether they're a strong Christian, if they're a Christian, they'll stay a Christian. Amen? And we see that here in this chapter when he talks about one man, verse 5, esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. In other words, he's saying he honors every day as the Lord's day. And one says Sunday's the Lord's day. And we have some people that believe the Sabbath is still the Lord's day. And what he's saying is each of them esteem. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This is talking about conviction. To be fully persuaded means to be convinced, to be assured in your own mind. You're convinced. You're doing it because you believe that's what the Lord wants. It's not you're doing it because it's better for you or it's more convenient for you. It's a conviction, amen? It's something that is inside you that tells you this. Can I tell you, as a young Christian, when I got saved, now this is my personal conviction that happened to me, but for me to put this on other people like other people try to put it on me before God gave it to me, it was of no use. Now you can give advice to people, amen? We can tell people how we feel the Bible says this or that or how it relates to it. But as far as judging, to look down upon one another is not to be the way we ought to be. I remember as a young Christian, I played a lot of ball. I played all week. I played in tournaments on the weekends and everything like that. When I got saved, I had no problem in giving up playing on Sunday. I had no problem whatsoever. But as a young person in the faith, I used to always wear shorts playing ball. I always did. And God didn't deal with me about it. Some people said, that's wrong. You shouldn't wear that. And you know what? God didn't deal with me about it. But eventually, God dealt with me about it. And then I was fully persuaded in my mind that God didn't want me to do it. So I wore sweats every time I played. If it was 80 degrees, if it was 100 degrees, I wore sweats. Because in my mind, I was supposed to do that. Now, it's not my position to force that on you. That's just something God dealt with me about. And I think a lot of times what happens is when God deals with us about something, we want to throw it on everybody else. Now, God, listen, TV wasn't invented then. There's some people who tell you you're going to die and go to hell because you got a TV in your house. There's actually people that believe that. The thing we need to look at is, listen, there's nothing wrong with having a TV. Just make sure it doesn't have you. Amen? Anything that takes God's place is that idol. We're not to have idols. Amen? And so we need to look at it from that perspective. But to say because if someone has something or someone doesn't have something, that they're not, you're judging them. Leave that to God. That's God's business. Amen? God will take care of those things. Notice what it says here. In this text, he's talking about us being fully persuaded. There's things that I've been fully persuaded of, and it's not because of a convenience for me. It's because I believe that's what the Lord wants me to do. And so I do them. I believe there are certain Christians, you know what? They may be able to do things. And there's some things that they may be able to do that they have no problem doing that I would have a problem with because of my position. Amen? Because the Bible talks about it here starting in verse number 13. We're not to judge one another, but notice what it says here. It says in verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. For me to sit here and try to tell you something that is not black and white in here and tell you you're wrong if you're doing this or you're right if you're doing this when it's a personal conviction of mine, given my opinion. Now, I can give my opinion, but I need to make sure I tell you it's my opinion that this is unwise or this is wise. And so we need to understand that we'll stand before Him. You won't stand before me one day and give an account. I won't stand before you one day and give an account. No, we'll stand before God and give an account. So if God has put in your heart, you're okay with this, then you're okay with it. If God puts it in your heart like He did mine, like I had no problems. You know, I heard people, oh, you shouldn't wear shorts, you shouldn't wear shorts. I had no problem with it. But then one day God convicted me over it and said, I don't want you doing it. And guess what? I didn't do it. But I didn't do it because those people were telling me not to do it. I did it because God told me not to do it. That's what you need to understand. You're going to have to answer to God. Everything you do, you're going to have to give an account, Christian, to God for what you do or what you don't do. So we need to understand what was happening in the early church was there were people that said, no, they were kind of trying to hold on to that law. You know, I mean, these people were talking about, you know, hey, you can't eat meat. Well, God said you could. Remember Peter, when he was there thinking, you know, that cloth came down and the all that food, the animals were there, and he basically, I can't eat that. That's unclean. He said, you can't call what God brings, you know, what He's cleansed, it's clean. And he was trying to open the door to show them that God wasn't just going to save Jews, He was going to save Gentiles. Because they looked at Gentiles as unclean. God can't do anything with those Gentiles. Yes, He can. Praise God, He can, right? So we need to understand that in this text, He's talking about us not judging one another. We as Christians ought not judge one another. Not only that, we shouldn't hinder one another. Notice what it says here in verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. In other words, he's saying, don't be a stumbling block for that other Christian. If you're a strong Christian, don't be a stumbling block to that weak Christian. That weak Christian there was saying, you know what, I've got to eat the vegetarian, and I can't eat meat. Meat's unclean for me. I'm not to do that. And he's saying, don't be a stumbling block to that person. Don't offend them. Paul said, hey, if they're offended by it, I'm not going to eat it in front of them. And that's what I'm saying is, as a Christian, when other Christians look up to you, you want to make sure you don't become a stumbling block to them. Amen? But there is a difference, amen, and we're talking Christians here. I'm talking about saved people. Now don't get the message confused and think I'm talking about lost, but I'm talking about saved people. Do saved people, does every person that's saved believe the same thing? No. Now, they do believe, if they're saved, they believe the same thing when it comes to salvation, right? And it's pretty obvious by the Bible, none of us should kill anyone, right? Right? We shouldn't commit adultery, right? Shouldn't steal, right? There are things that are, I mean, clear cut, what you're not to do. But as I said, there's things that are different now than before, and things we have to look at. I was reading, how many of you have heard of J. Vernon McGee? J. Vernon McGee. I was reading after him on this text, and he was talking about his wife when she was young. She was from Texas, and they moved out to California. Now, we know there's a big difference between Texas and California. Praise the Lord, we're not like California. Amen. But there's a difference between them. And in the church she grew up in, listen, they never, ever, ever, ever had mixed bathing. And as a little girl, they moved to California, and all of a sudden, there it was accepted, and she was taken back like, I can't believe this. Why would they do that? But by the same token, when she was here in Texas at a Southern Baptist church, the deacon smoked, the pastor smoked. There was no problem with that. But she went to California and said, no, you can't do that. Well, they were Christians and they were Christians. But what? They had differing views on stuff. And so he was in essence saying you can't force your views on others. You got to look to the Lord and say, God, if I'm wrong, show me. That's the whole purpose, is us to open up the Bible, to preach the Word, what it says, but also that the Lord would deal with each and every one of us. Amen? Listen, I've heard some interesting things, I mean, that people believe, and I'm like, how in the world do they believe that? Right? You know some people that believe some things, and you as Christians, and you shake your head and think, why do they believe that? Because someone told them. A lot of times that's the problem, is who they're hanging around with. Amen? The crowd they're hanging around with. Sometimes things will get talked about and everything, and they don't understand, you know, this doesn't seem right. And as I said, nowadays, I mean, I've heard people, it's funny, I've heard of people that preach against television and they have a television. Right? Sunday school teachers that say, don't go to the movies, and they go to the movies. You think, well, what's going on? Well, whatever God has put in your heart, you pray to God. You know what, a lot of times when you're wondering if something is wrong, if you're wondering if something's wrong, it's wrong for you. If you're wondering, should I do this? Don't do it. Pray, get peace about it. If you pray and you get peace about doing it, that's fine. But if you pray and you don't have peace, don't do it. Notice that word, as I said, to be fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that I can do certain things, and I'm fully persuaded there's some things I don't need to do. Amen? And a lot of times we need to think of this. Now think of the prodigal. What was the difference in the prodigal when he went out there and, listen, let me ask you this question. Can Christians drink? Can they drink? They can. They can get into sin. Just like when they were lost, they could get into it. I didn't say, is it right for them to drink? I said, can they drink? They can drink. Can they smoke? They can smoke. There's a lot of things you can look at, what they can and can't do. But I want you to notice, what did the prodigal do? He went out there. It just says riotous living. We know that wasn't good living. He wasted his substance. He was out there in the world. He was in the hog pen. But what happened in the hog pen? When he came to himself. Now, did he get up and say, this is nothing. I might do this tomorrow. No, he left that, went back to where? The Father's house. Those pigs that were in the mud with him, did they say, oh no, I shouldn't be here? No, they're pigs. That's exactly where they're supposed to be. And a Christian that is out in the world, that is out in sin, the difference between a Christian and a lost person is a Christian is going to be remorseful. If you can sin and you can continue to sin, it doesn't bother you. You continue to sin, it doesn't bother you. There's a problem. You might not be saved. Listen, that's the difference in a Christian. A Christian can do those things. They can get back into drugs. They can do those things, but they're going to feel miserable. They're going to be the most miserable people in the world. You say, how so? Well, if a lost person sins, that's natural to them. Right? And if a saved person is living right, That's natural for them, right? But if a saved person is living in sin, that's not natural for him. He shouldn't live that way. He's going to be uneasy. He's going to feel bad. Can you remember certain situations you were in as a young Christian? Things you used to do, and all of a sudden you tried to do them and you felt uneasy? You thought, well, I didn't feel like this before. That's because you didn't have the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the one to clean up my life. Now, God may use somebody, God may use certain people to get my attention, but can I tell you this? It's not that person that gets me to change my attitude or my actions. It's the Holy Spirit. Listen, I can talk to you till you're blue in the face, but if you're convinced you can do something, and I tell you, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it, my talking's not going to get to you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. If it's wrong for you, He's going to deal with you, and you're going to say, this is wrong for me. That's why I know a lot of times when you're preaching, you know, you may get someone come to the altar. Someone else might be doing the same thing as the other person, and they're not at the altar. Why? They're not listening. The Holy Spirit's dealing with them. They don't want to do it. Or the Holy Spirit's not dealing with them yet. You know, a lot of times in a Christian's life, you may have several things wrong. You may have several things wrong. And God might be trying to get you to clean one up before He gets you to clean up another one. To clean up another one. Just like when God deals with us about what He wants us to do. Now, what is God's will for my life? You ever had anyone ask you that question? I have. What is God's will for my life? Well, can I tell you this? I don't believe God will reveal that to you until you start doing the things that God tells every Christian to do. If you're not praying, He's not going to reveal it to you. If you're not coming to church, He's not going to reveal that to you. If you're not studying your Bible, He's not going to reveal that to you. Why? Because those are things all of us should do. All Christians are. If you're not witnessing to people, He's not going to tell you what to do. Why? Because you're not doing the basic things He wants every Christian to do. Debbie, there's some things in this Bible that God wants every single Christian to do. Every single Christian. Then there are some things He'll want you to do, and maybe one other person over here or one other person over here. But I believe He's not going to reveal that to you until you start doing what you're supposed to be doing that every Christian should do. I noticed that the people He calls to preach, the ones I've seen, have always been faithful to God's house. They're the ones that are there at church. You don't have to send out a party out there to hunt them. You know, the FBI go after them, try to figure out where they've been for the last 3 months. Wonder where they're at. And then they come back, oh, I've been called to preach. I've never seen that. But I've seen people faithful to God that God calls to preach. But God doesn't call the people a lot of times that people think ought to be called. Well, they've been raised up all their lives in church. Boy, he's been there the whole time. Boy, God will call him. Not necessarily. I'm a perfect example of that. People saw me grow up and see my life. I wasn't likely in man's eyes. Well, his parents didn't go to church. Right? God calls who He wants to call. Amen? But also, God wants us to live the right life. Now, notice in Romans chapter 12, go back a few. And this is what I'm talking about here, what he says here. Verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect," what? "Will of God." Notice what it says here. It says the previous verse, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies. Now he's talking to Christians, brethren. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice he mentions the reasonable service first. It's reasonable to say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm here. That's basically what he's saying. Notice, though, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformation takes place from the inside out. Confirmation is from the outside in. And so he's saying, listen, don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you're not going to know the perfect will of God for your life until you present your body a living sacrifice and before you get transformed, amen, by the renewing of your mind. That's why I'm saying these people that are out living like the world and everything else, those aren't the people that are going to know God's perfect will. The ones that are going to know are those ones that are living right, or doing the right things. But I want you to notice as we go back here about hindering one another, notice he says, I know, verse number 14, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meats, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to be a stumbling block to him to where they're going to say, look what he's doing. And so he's saying, I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. Notice he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He said, that's what it's all about. The kingdom of God is not about, well, did you keep this law? Did you do this? Did you do that? It's not a list of do's and don'ts. But he said, righteousness and peace and joy. Amen? Now, part of that is what? What did Christ do? What do we see that Christ did? He put others ahead of himself. And what he's trying to say in these verses are, there are some gray areas. And what we need to do in those gray areas is, when we judge someone, what are we doing? We're putting ourselves up. When you judge someone, you're putting yourself up and you're putting them down. He's saying, don't do that. He's saying, put others ahead of yourselves. For an example, If some pastor came here, say an evangelist come, I had him preach for me, and I know Brother Juan, he will not go out and eat on Sundays. As a Christian, he has that conviction. I don't have that conviction as a Christian. But because of his belief, if I know his belief, I shouldn't take him out to eat on Sunday. Knowing that that is something he doesn't do. And I don't judge him for it. Amen? That's what he's talking about here is don't be a stumbling block. So don't take what you believe. If I was the one, you know, I'm going to try my best to make other people not feel uncomfortable. I'm not going to try to be that stumbling block. Amen? There were certain pastors or evangelists that would come, and my pastor knew they didn't eat out on Sundays. He would have some ladies fix some food, and they'd have the food after the Sunday service. Then if they went out and he took them out, he knew that they would. Then there's some people will not go into a restaurant if it has a bar of any kind in it. And if you know that, where are you going to take them if you invite them out to eat? You better take them somewhere that doesn't have a bar, because you don't want to be a stumbling block to them. A young Christian comes in and he gets saved. He's saved. He knows God. But he's young. He doesn't know a lot. But he's been told Christians don't go to those places. and you invite them out to eat, where are you going to take them? Paul is saying, I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. You know what? Maybe right now, Brother Saray, they would never go to those places. But maybe after a while they'll understand, hey, there's nothing wrong if you go to certain places. Other ones is going to really look bad. If a place is known as, man, that's a place, boy, all they do is drink and party and all that kind of stuff. If they know that, that's not going to look good for a Christian to walk out of that place and people see him walk out there, even though he didn't drink. So those are things you need to understand that, you know, are what God has placed on our hearts not to do. He may say it's okay. Might get to a point where he says, no, don't do it anymore. For your sake or for the sake. Paul wouldn't eat that meat because he didn't want people to think, well, he said he's a Christian, look what he's doing. Well, he had every right to eat meat. But he wasn't going to be a stumbling block. And that's what we need to make sure, that we're not a stumbling block. Amen? That we put others ahead of ourselves. Notice, let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. Would it make for peace as a young Christian? And there I am, I used to wear shorts and then God convicted me over it. Then I started wearing sweats. And then all of a sudden someone else gets saved. And for me to yell, you're not right with God doing that. God's not dealt with them about it. In time, God may deal with them. He may not. But God's the judge, not me. Now, I could tell them, you know, I felt uncomfortable and I felt the Lord dealt with me and I did it. That's one thing, but to force what you believe on them when you can't back it up. Now, listen, we can take any scripture in here and we can turn things around. If you don't believe that, you look at most of the cults that are around there. You know, a lot of the cults that are out there, they believe this Bible. Part of it anyway. The part they want. But they'll take verses and they'll switch them around and there's their doctrine. This charismatic crowd that believes in speaking in tongues. Can I tell you this? I don't want you to get shocked, but some will be in heaven because they trusted Christ as their Savior. Now, there's some that believe you have to talk in tongues to be saved. Now, I don't have much hope for them people because they're relying on works. But some are confused about tongues because people have twisted the Bible. Listen, I've known people, you know, I played ball with several of them that went to a Pentecostal church. But you know what? When they talk about their salvation, they talk about the same salvation I do. If you was to go to some Methodist church or Presbyterian church, you'd find some people that would give you a born-again experience that they had, that they're born again, they're saved. And yet you look at some of the stuff they do and you wonder, why are you doing that? Right? But what Paul is saying is don't be a stumbling block. Be a help to them. Amen? Be a help to them. Try to help them, but do it in a constructive way. Paul was always that way. Paul was one that, you know what, he was there to try to bring glory and honor to God. Notice, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now listen, those things that are different, you know, there are certain things that God will deal with you. If you're doing things by sight, well, this looks okay, this looks pleasing, that's sin. But when you, by faith, say, God, show me, is this right or this wrong? That's the important thing, is what is right for me and what is wrong for me. Well, part of the problem and part of the reason why a lot of churches have all kinds of problems with disunity is because certain people want to take their convictions and impress them on everybody else. And when they don't, there's that split. They get mad at them and they get mad at them, and then you have problems. And the best thing for us to do is say, God, show us. God, if I'm causing a problem, God, if I'm doing something wrong, show me. Do you not think God would? God, do you think this, me doing this, is being a stumbling block to others? Lord, I know I have the liberty to do it. Amen? I have the liberty to do it, but would I be a stumbling block to other Christians? Someone that's young in the faith and you know that, hey, there's no problem with me doing this. I have liberty to do it. But if it causes a problem with them, should you do it? I say no. Amen? We as Christians need to start realizing God's the judge, not us. Now, we can inspect fruit. Amen? We're fruit inspectors. Amen? If I look and say, you know what, this person says they're a Christian and they're doing this and they're doing this, this looks pretty good that they're a Christian. I can't say 100% sure a person is a Christian. But I can look at their fruit and say they look to be a Christian to me. But if someone comes in here and says, oh, they're saved, they're going to heaven, and you ask them how they got saved, well, I was born a Christian. What does that tell you? They're lost. Because before you can get, first of all, you're not born a Christian, you're born a sinner. But before you can get saved, what has to happen first? You have to see yourself lost. People knock on their doors and you ask them about, you know, if they know the Lord is their Savior. Oh, yeah. Well, I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that. They've never seen themselves as sinners. They think they've been a good person, and a good person goes to heaven. That's not biblical. Do you know what? I had that same belief when I was lost. I thought good people went to heaven. No, saved people go to heaven. Those that have been born again, those that have been forgiven, those are the people that go to heaven. But as Christians, we need to help other Christians. Not be a stumbling block, but be a help. And we need to understand, we're not a judge. One day I'll stand before God and I'll give an account. Now listen, that's about works. That's nothing with salvation. If you're saved, if you trust in Christ as your Savior, you're going to heaven. But the works will be judged. They'll be burned or be rewarded. You'll have one or the other. So it comes down to this. What are you going to get? If you cause problems, what's going to happen? What's going to happen as a Christian if you cause problems? Those rewards are going to get burnt. But if you love the Lord and you do what's right, God, I believe this is right with my heart and you're going to do it, and then you see someone and say, you know what, I'm going to offend someone if I do it around them, so I'm not going to do it around them. That's what Paul was saying. I'm not going to be a stumbling block, and we as Christians need to not be a stumbling block to one another. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time in your Word, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help each and every one of us. First and foremost, I pray if anyone's lost, Lord, that you deal with their heart, save them before it's ever too late. But for the child of God, Lord, I pray that we would receive the weaker brother if we're the stronger brother, or the stronger brother receive the weaker brother, or the weaker brother receive the stronger brother. That we receive one another because you've received us. And I just wonder if maybe we've had problems with other Christians because of our attitude, because of us judging one another. Let us be the Christians we ought to be, those that put others ahead of ourselves. Help us to live for you. Help us to serve you. Lord, if we're busy serving you, that'll keep us from judging others. Because a servant is all about his master. His concern is his master happy? Am I pleasing him? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? He's not worried about the other servants. I think a lot of times we get our eyes off of the judge. We get our eyes on one another. And we try to take the place of the judge. Help us to be the Christians we ought to be. Lord, help us to live our lives according to the Word of God. Because if we do that, we will not be a stumbling block. This altar's open. If the Lord has spoke to you, you come.